Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series. Today, in the first in our new monthly series of interviews about sales and use tax audits, we are speaking with Ed Bent, who's a senior director with Altus Group, who's going to be discussing this topic on a very high level with us today and also going pretty deep on it as well as an introduction into this series. And Ed, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today, Matt. Appreciate it.
Sure thing, Ed. It's always a pleasure. And let's jump right in. You know, we're doing this transaction tax practice podcast series on sales and use tax audits. Give us an overview about this podcast series. What's it going to be all about?
Okay, Matt. Well, our podcast is really planned to be a six-part series that's going to be designed to inform our listeners as to today's hot-button audit issues in sales and use tax and steps that the taxpayers can take to minimize their impact on a company's bottom line when they incur an audit. Now, the series will focus on different geographic regions of the country, including the Northeast, with a focus on New York, the Mid-Atlantic region, as well as the Southeast, including Florida and Georgia, and the Southwest, including that great state of Texas.
That's great. Now, it seems like we hear about sales tax audits pretty much all the time these days. So in your opinion, why is this topic so timely now?
Well, you know, Matt, the sales and use tax landscape is dynamic and it's constantly changing. State budgets typically rely on sales taxes for approximately a third of their revenue. And technology continues to advance, business models continue to evolve, and these have negative impacts on the amount of sales tax revenues being collected by the states. You know, it seems that every day there's a new app that's being introduced that converts what used to be a purchase of taxable, tangible personal property into purchases of exempt services. You know, Spotify and Pandora have replaced CDs, for example. And who knows what changes lay around the corner with artificial intelligence and products like smart refrigerators or even smart homes. What used to be a sale of a taxable product may soon become a sale of a bundle of services and property. And how will these transactions be taxed? You know, online retailing has exploded, of course, and the sharing economy led by services such as Uber and Airbnb have challenged old tax law and policy. So as a result, state tax bases have been eroding for years, and the states have sought to slow and reverse this erosion with aggressive interpretation of existing tax statutes, by introducing new reporting requirements for remote vendors, and by broadening the definition of nexus. Now, these policies are reinforced with actions such as allowing for less discretion by field auditors during the audit and by enforcing strict procedural requirements, causing taxpayers to either concede an issue and pay an assessment or spend dollars and resources appealing these issues to the next level.
That's great. So my next question, Ed, is why can't the state then just change their laws to keep up with the socioeconomic changes that are pretty much working their way in changing our economy?
Well, you know, many states have tried this, Matt, with various degrees of success. You see, the state sales tax first came into being in the 1930s and 40s when our economy was based on making products, a smokestack industry, if you will. So the sales tax was primarily designed to broadly tax purchases of tangible personal property. And for a service to be subject to sales tax, it has to be specifically enumerated in the law. So if a service is not already taxed by the law, a bill would need to be passed to tax it. And obviously, this is politically unpopular. But to stop the erosion of their tax bases, many states have done just that and expanded their laws to tax a number of digital services. Now, the states are also bound by the law of the land as handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court. And back in 1992, well before the rise of the internet, the Supreme Court handed down a decision known as Quill versus North Dakota. Now, this ruling essentially said that in order for a state to compel a business to collect and remit its sales tax, there first must be a nexus with that state, that is a physical connection on a regular and systematic basis. Now, without this in-state physical presence, the court reasoned the record keeping that would be imposed on remote sellers in order to collect and remit a state sales tax was just too much of a burden on interstate commerce. And the court deemed that this burden was unconstitutional. So remote online sellers with no physical presence in a state can continue to make sales of otherwise taxable tangible personal property into a state, and they generally don't have to charge sales tax to their customers. Now, the states have fought back by passing laws that draw ever tighter boundaries in regards to what constitutes a regular and systematic physical presence. Then they enforce these laws with the goal of challenging the taxpayer in court. And the state hopes that a case with a good set of facts is going to provide them with the opportunity to relitigate the nexus issue in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And New York really pioneered this approach back in 2010 when it successfully asserted nexus over Amazon.com, which brought millions of dollars into the state's treasury. So the states believe that there's strong arguments to be made in regards to advances in accounting and tax software solutions that have removed this burden on interstate commerce referred to in Quill, thereby allowing the court to define a new nexus standard. That is a nexus standard that revolves around economic presence characterized by the mere exploitation of a state's marketplace in the furtherance of a remote company's online business.
That's interesting. So, well, that would be, you know, it'd be pretty quite a dramatic change in the landscape that would certainly recover a lot of tax revenue that's currently lost to remote online sellers. So now that you've explained some of these reasons behind the tougher enforcement through audit, what kind of issues are you seeing taxpayers actually dealing with?
Well, you know, aside from these nexus issues, which is really, you know, the ground zero tax law and a hotly debated topic at the moment, a lot of the other issues that we're seeing really center around aggressive interpretation of statutes and court rulings. You know, for instance, in New York, the provision of information services is one of those services which is specifically enumerated as taxable when information which is derived substantially from public sources and can be reproduced in other reports is included in the deliverable. Now, the issue here is that the law is vague in what the term substantial actually means. So New York auditors have seized upon this ambiguity, and they're seeking to tax any report that contains any type of this information. And with such blurred lines as to what is taxable or exempt, it becomes really very difficult for a taxpayer to settle this issue without going to court and obtaining a ruling that will lay down a bright line test. Another case of aggressive enforcement, you know, comes to mind from the state of Georgia. We're currently working on an appeal with a retailer who sells tangible personal property and also installs this property on the premises of its customers. Now, a recent Georgia court ruling came down stating that this type of activity is taxable, and this ruling was based upon a line of cases that addressed the issue in the context of real property contractors, not retailers. But applying this concept to a retailer of tangible personal property really seems to be an overreach by the court, and in our estimation, it's a clear contradiction of the plain wording of the underlying Georgia statutes. Nonetheless, armed with this ruling, the Georgia Department of Revenue, wasting no time in stretching its principles as far as they can, and they've been issuing large assessments to taxpayers who otherwise believed they were following the letter of the law. Now, with this ruling made into policy by the Georgia Department of Revenue, the auditors tell us they have no discretion to provide leeway during the field audit. So the only recourse a taxpayer has when blindsided with this type of situation is to work really hard to distinguish their facts from those in the court ruling when they appeal the assessment. And if that fails, then they're going to have to consider taking the case up to the Georgia Supreme Court. Now, for a lot of taxpayers, this course of action just might not be worth it when considering the costs involved and the hazards of litigation. So the state wins by using aggressive audit tactics. And we're seeing similar tactics employed in Texas in regards to sourcing of sales to locations in Texas where data processing services are being used, and auditors deem that the taxpayer hasn't met their burden of proof to convince them otherwise. So proving where a service can be used is very difficult in a multi-state operation, and this will continue to be a flashpoint as states seek to tax more of these types of services.
Well, these are certainly very complex issues that the auditors really seem to be using to their advantage. So along those lines, what else will we expect to hear in this podcast series, and how often will these installments be aired?
Well, we're going to explore other tried and true tactics that are employed by state auditors. We'll continue to highlight aggressive audit practices and provide suggestions for resolution of these and other issues in the most efficient manner possible. We'll also analyze any resolution in the battle over Nexus, either in the courts or in Congress, as well as in state legislatures. And we're going to bring these latest developments to our listeners' attention. Now, senior members of the Altus Group's Transaction Tax Management team will air new installments of this podcast series on a monthly basis for the next 6 months. The podcasts are going to be posted on our website, and they can be continually accessed at www.altusgroup.com. You know, one never knows when an audit notice may pop up in the mail, so having the ability to reference this podcast and leverage the expertise of Altus's subject matter experts provides one more tool to help maintain fairness during the audit process and minimize any audit assessment.
That's perfect, Ed. What an ideal way to end this podcast series and this podcast interview. And once again, this is the first in our new monthly series of interviews about sales and use tax audits. And Ed Benn, the senior director with Altus Group, was kind enough to share a very high-level overview of this podcast series, but also went deep on some really interesting stuff that's very relevant to our listeners. And Ed, thank you as always for your time today.
Thanks, Matt. We look forward to bringing additional installments and really helping to help taxpayers navigate these treacherous audits these days.